Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Bible Truth for Living with your host, Pastor Tim Reynolds. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're listening on the radio, this is the Sunday following the Thanksgiving holiday, and I pray you were able to spend some time with family and thank God for all of His goodness. I've always said, you know, there are a lot of things wrong with our nation, but I'd rather live here than anywhere else. God has given us a free nation. He's given us, of course, heaven to look forward to and so many other blessings. You know, sometimes the holidays can be difficult for some people because of loss. Maybe you lost someone this year or, you know, other reasons because of grief. And we want you to know that our prayers are with you as well. And if you can, at least find some time to be able to at least thank God for His goodness. And if nothing else, thank Him that this world is not our home. All right, we're just passing through, and we have heaven to look forward to. Today, I'm bringing a message that is the second part of what we began last week, titled Strange Gods. I'm reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 25, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." Well, last week we began looking at the strange gods, and in their glory days, the strange gods sat enthroned in their marble temples, their shrines of wood and stone, their sacred groves of trees and mountaintop sanctuaries. Their statues and carved images gazed down upon their worshipers who approached their altars with gold and silver and precious stone, sometimes blood and even human sacrifices. Kings bowed down before the strange gods. Priests performed rituals before them. Armies fought and conquered in their names. Children, adults, princes and paupers alike sang their praises, danced to the drumbeat of their parades, and invoked their mysterious powers. Last week, we began our series by looking at the appearance, the avoidance, and the attraction of the strange gods. Today, we'll continue by looking at the archetypes and the arch enemies of the strange gods. Let's begin with the archetypes of the strange gods. There are several strange gods mentioned throughout the Old Testament, but three of them seem to stand out above the rest. You might think of them as the unholy trinity of strange gods. The first one is mentioned here in our text by the name of Baal, B-A-A-L. Verse 3 says, "Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor." The name Baal means master or owner. He is sometimes called Balaam or referred to by location. For instance, Baal Peor is Baal of Peor, or Baal Hadad is Baal of Hadad. You see that throughout the Old Testament as well. Baal was considered the Canaanite god of provision and protection. He was the chief enemy of Jehovah God because the people of Israel trusted in the strange god Baal rather than the true God. Now, when we talk about Baal, Baal is the strange god of spiritual apostasy or spiritual unfaithfulness. God in verse 1 says the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. That is not simply physical unfaithfulness, but it's also a reference to spiritual unfaithfulness. We see something interesting in 1 Kings chapter 18, and I would encourage you to read that entire chapter. I don't have time to do that in this one particular setting, but it's the story of God's prophet Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. And I'm just going to read verses 17 through 21. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Ahab was the king of Israel, saw Elijah, the prophet of Israel, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" You know, sometimes we preachers are known as troublemakers. And the king says, you're the one that troubles Israel. And Elijah answers, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam," or Baal. "Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, that would be another area where they would worship Baal, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Jezebel was the queen, the wife of Ahab. So there are a total of 850 prophets versus one prophet. 850 prophets of Baal, one prophet of Jehovah God. And Elijah came out unto the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Well, but Elijah says you need to make your choice right now. Now, the rest of the story, if you read it, you'll find out that Elijah wins the victory there because there's only one true God, and that's Jehovah God. But we're introduced to Baal here in Scripture, the spirit of Baal. And this is what I want you to really get from this. You can call him the strange god, the demon, the spirit of Baal, turns a nation away from God by causing it to abandon spiritual truth, and it often begins under spiritual leadership. You see, it was the spiritual leaders that had allowed the worship of false gods to occur in Israel. Well, let me share a scripture with you. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 26 and 27. The Bible says, "How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten or replaced my name for Baal." And so you have the prophets leading the nation into spiritual idolatry, spiritual unfaithfulness or fornication. More on that later. Let's go to the second archetype. The second archetype of the strange gods. When we say archetype, I mean the representative of all the strange gods. The second one is a strange god called Ashtaroth. We find Ashtaroth in the book of Judges, chapter 10 and verse 6. Judges 10:6 says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam," there's Baal, and Baal is often listed first among the strange gods, "and Ashtaroth." Now, Ashtaroth means fertility. Ashtaroth was actually considered a goddess, a female strange god. She was the Phoenician goddess of sexuality, seduction, and intoxication. Temples built to Ashtaroth were houses of prostitution. Ashtaroth was so prominent among Middle Eastern gods that she was titled the Queen of Heaven. And this is actually mentioned in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 44 tells us about the Queen of Heaven. This would be Ashtaroth. Verse 15, Jeremiah chapter 44. "Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods," which tells us the leadership had fallen apart here, "and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee." So they just tell the prophet of God, Jeremiah, "We're not going to listen to you. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven." Now, again, to save time, I'm not going to read the rest of that chapter, but you will find several different references to the Queen of Heaven in Jeremiah 44. The Queen of Heaven reference there is to this strange goddess, Ashtaroth. The men had surrendered their leadership and their responsibility in the home and spiritual wise. And so now you have this goddess Ashtaroth that begins to be worshipped. The Assyrians and Babylonians also worshipped her, what you might think of as her foremost lover or most important to her. His name was Tammuz. Now, again, these are strange gods, and the strange gods are nothing more than demons, but they were given names, all right, Tammuz. And when Israel became the slaves of the Assyrians and Babylonians, guess who they worshipped as well? They worshipped Tammuz. Here it is in Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12. "Then said he unto me," God, "to the son of man, Ezekiel, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark?" These are things they thought were hidden from God. "Every man in the chamber of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth." They thought they were getting by with their behavior, their false worship. He said unto them, unto him, turn thee again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. So here they are near the Lord's house. And he says, behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. That would be the lover of the strange god Ashtaroth. Now, here's the connection that I want you to get from this. Baal worship, it begins there. When a nation begins to worship Baal, it produces spiritual confusion. And then when there is spiritual confusion in a nation, it produces worship of Ashtaroth, which leads to sexual confusion, gender confusion, role confusion, leadership confusion. That is all part of Ashtaroth worship. So we've looked at Baal worship, Ashtaroth worship, and then the third member of the unholy trinity of the strange gods was named Moloch. Moloch, M-O-L-E-C-H, Moloch, Jeremiah 32 and verse 35. And they built the high places of Baal, again mentioned first, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch. The name Moloch means shame or abomination. Moloch was the strange god associated with human sacrifice and particularly child sacrifice. That's what it means there, to cause their sons and the daughters to pass through the fire. You see, Moloch was revealed as a bronze image with arms outstretched and palms up to receive, and then the arms would slope toward the ground. And as awful as it sounds, parents or priests would lay an infant or a child in the arms of Moloch as a sacrifice, and the child would roll down the outstretched, sloped arms of Moloch and fall into a gaping pit filled with fire as they made their sacrifices to Moloch. Verse 35 mentions the Valley of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom is right outside the wall of Jerusalem. It was a constantly burning garbage heap. It had the smell of burning flesh that filled the air. It was also called Gehenna, and another name for Gehenna is hell itself. Jeremiah chapter 39 and verse 4 says, because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place, referring to Jerusalem, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. So you have Baal worship that produces spiritual confusion. Spiritual confusion produces Ashtaroth worship, which produces sexual confusion. And that produces the worship of Moloch, which leads to sacred confusion, where life is no longer sacred and used as sacrifice. Now, we're going to really hone in on that next time we get together, but I wanted to bring them out today so that you can recognize the archetypes of the strange gods. Now, that's where we are. So we're going to move now to the arch enemies of the strange gods. And what I've been trying to do is sort of combine a Bible lesson with a history lesson here as we go through the Old Testament. So beginning in Genesis and all throughout the Old Testament, you have strange gods, the strange gods of the Egyptians and the Canaanites. And Genesis and Exodus would eventually become the strange gods of the Assyrians and Babylonians later on. By the time the Old Testament closes out and the first coming of Christ, these strange gods just have new names. They have become the gods of the Greeks and the Romans. Some of their names may be more familiar to you. Names like Zeus and Jupiter, Ishtar, Aphrodite, Venus, Apollos, Adonis. These are all names of strange gods that were worshipped by the Greeks and the Romans. Now, anytime you have strange gods, and again, strange gods are demons, it follows that there would be possession. There would be demon possession. Signs of demon possession include convulsions, shakings, violent frenzies. And the Roman Empire, by the time Christ comes on the scene, and the Jewish land of Judea was filled with demon possession. Someone, however, would arrive on the world scene to stifle the power and the influence of the strange gods. This person would change the history of the world as well as the well-being of humanity. And we're going to call this person the Galilean. I think you know who we're talking about. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12, give me just a minute to get to it here. The Bible says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Galilee is in northern Israel. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness, that is spiritual darkness, saw great light, spiritual light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. That is a prophetic reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Have you ever wondered why there is so much demon possession and physical maladies in the Gospels in the days of Jesus? I can tell you why. Because of the presence of the strange gods. They had affected the spiritual and physical there within the Roman Empire. In fact, the Gospels record Jesus casting out devils 55 times. Five of these are in detail. I'm going to read just one of them to you. This is in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, strange gods, demons, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? So they know that the time is coming when they're going to be taken care of, and I'll share that next week. And they also recognize who Jesus is. They refer to him as the Son of God. And there was a good way from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, begged him, if thou cast us out, suffer or permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them one word, go. You don't see any big fanfare. Jesus didn't have to work it up or anything. He just simply said, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. You had so much demon possession because the strange gods had permeated the Roman Empire, and even the area of Judea and Jerusalem. Jesus comes on the scene, begins casting out devils and dealing with those that were possessed, and it also had had physical maladies along with it. Now, that's the first archenemy. Let's cover the second archenemy of the strange gods, and that is the gospel. You see, after Jesus resurrected from the grave and ascended into heaven, the gospel began to spread. It spread out from Jerusalem, out from Judea, and began to permeate the Gentile nations. As the Spirit of God moved into the Gentile nations, it moved into the lands of the strange gods. When you get to the book of Acts, you find several instances, again, where strange gods are mentioned. And Paul's going to address some people worshiping strange gods in Acts chapter 17. This is called the Sermon from Mars Hill. In Acts 17, verse 22, the Bible says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. So Paul is saying, you all are very devoted in your religion. You're superstitious, you're devoted, but you're worshiping many of these strange gods. And he says, you want to cover all your bases, so you've called this one the unknown God. And now he says, I'm going to tell you something about the unknown God. That is the one true God. Now listen to where he begins. Verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein. Paul goes all the way back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He wants him to understand that. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You see, they were into these. They would build these magnificent temples to the strange gods. And Paul says he's not limited to a temple made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. That's why we do not believe the Bible teaches that there is race. There's one human race, or races rather, plural. There's one race, that is the human race. God made us all with one blood. And he says, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Simply means he knows the beginning from the end. God has it all appointed and figured out. And boy, I really like verses 27 and 28. Paul says that they, the believing, the unbelieving, should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him. Picture someone in the dark as they're feeling their way along. And here an unbeliever is in spiritual darkness, but they're searching for truth and they're feeling around. He says they should seek the Lord and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Listen, if you're not saved, Jesus is not very far from you. If you'll just feel around, if you'll just seek the truth, he can be found. And I like verse 28, for in him, in the Lord, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. The entire reason for our existence on earth is the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring praise, glory, and honor to him. Well, what was the response of the gospel as it began to penetrate the Gentile nations and move into the lands of the strange gods? Well, the initial response was imprisonment, persecution, and martyrdom. Why? Because the strange gods were raging. The gospel was coming in and filling that void. However, the gospel did not only bring salvation, that's the most important thing, but along with the gospel and Christianity, it brought human dignity. For instance, Christianity taught that all life is sacred, sacred even in the womb. Whether a person is handicapped or maybe they're physically or mentally or maybe they're an elderly person, all life is precious to God. Women and children are important to Jesus. To the strange gods, they had no place in society. But in Christianity, that lifts people up. Jesus said, "Permit the little children to come to me." Rich and poor, the Bible says, are made in the image of God. Doesn't matter if you have a fine home or just a little shack, we're all made in God's image. Sexuality. Christianity teaches it's a sacred gift of God to be honored within the bonds of marriage, not to be abused in all these things that the strange gods used it for. And so the gospel begins to permeate the Gentile nations. And as the Galilean and the gospel begin to change the world, the strange gods begin to go into retreat. But the question is, will they return? And that's what we're going to look at next week, the return of the strange gods. What's going on in our world today? We have some strange dilemmas taking place in our world today. Have the strange gods returned to this time? Well, I'll share some thoughts on that next week, and I hope you can tune in on the radio or follow on our podcast. Don't forget, all of these messages are on the Bible Truth Podcast. Go to your favorite podcast source and look for Bible Truth for Living with Pastor Tim Reynolds, and you'll find us there. Subscribe, and every time we upload a message, you can catch that, and we encourage you to do so. Also, if you do not have a home church, we invite you to Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. We begin every Sunday at 9 o'clock with fellowship, 9:30 Sunday school classes, 10 o'clock morning worship, and 6 o'clock evening worship. Mount Vernon Baptist Temple is located at 817 Woodland Drive off of Route 37 South in Mount Vernon. You can find us online at mountvernonbaptisttemple.com. Then at Waltonville Community Church, we meet every Sunday at 11:15 a.m. We are located at 321 South Hiron Street. You can find us online at waltonvillecommunitychurch.com. And then also I'd like to thank those who support the broadcast and the podcast by listening, by praying for us, and for your financial support. It's all by free will love offerings of God's people that allows us to stay on the air, to have a podcast, and I thank you for that as well. If you want to help us in that area, be a partner with us, you can write to us at Bible Truth for Living, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Include your best gift, maybe a prayer request or a Bible question, whatever. Put with that as well, and we'd be happy to address that. Again, we hope you have a great week. We're looking forward now as we begin to get close to that time as we celebrate the first coming of Christ, and I hope you're ready for his second coming as well. Could be today the rapture could occur, and I hope you're prepared. If you're not, you need to get saved. Repent of your sin. Receive Jesus as your Savior. You'll never regret it. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to being with you again at our next appointed time. Until then, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.